Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisguntas.
We gather here at our kitchen table at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in the center of Iowa. We talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. We are glad you have joined us today. So, three cheers for the summer garden. It is summer and things are green. We got a little rain last night. I think everybody's pretty much happy in the garden anyway.
The bugs included, right?
the bugs aren't, because it has been so dry. Not too bad in the bug department. Of course, we just have the usual suspects. We got your tomato hornworms. We got your Japanese beetles, and things are out there. But we're not drowning in bugs this year. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about tomatoes today because now is the time they're just starting. In my garden, they're just starting to roll in. They've been around at farmers markets for quite a while, and we'll get around to some other vegetables, and we'll talk about some cold summer soups. Some news items, and we have lots of things to talk about today. So first I want to mention we have something I never thought would happen. It's kind of in the when pigs fly department, because pigs did fly at my house, and something happened that I thought would never happen. My significant other, Joe, sitting at the kitchen, at the dining room table with me, eating supper, and he reached out and he ate a cucumber and he liked it. And this is the first, he always has said, I hate cucumbers. And I had made a quick pickle.
Huh? So, oh, it was a quick pickled cucumber.
Yeah, quick. So, I mean, it wasn't just a raw cucumber, but it, Joe, why in the world did you like it? Because it's crunchy and it's got some flavor. Now, this wasn't highly spiced or anything, just a little white wine vinegar and, rice vinegar, actually, and some little salt and some dill on it, and it wasn't fancy or anything, but what it was different is that I didn't try to pass off any old cucumber on him, but I like to grow different kind of pickles in my garden, and the ones that are labeled picklers as opposed to the slicers tend to be a little firmer, and that's the
ones. They also tend to be a little more bitter. I'm surprised he liked it.
I'm surprised too. Of course, that was his complaint. Oh, they don't taste like any cucumbers. They're little sliced cucumbers. They're just kind of watery. And okay. But anyway, I fed him one of these, and I grew a variety called Parisian pickle, and it is doesn't get too big, and it is very firm. And
it has lots of those little bumps on it.
It's kind of the old-fashioned cucumbers. It's got little bumps and little hairs you have to remove. It's kind of a one of these earlier pickles. There's other pickles that you can get. And I grew.
They're not teeny-weeny like gherkins, are they?
No. You can grow them for gherkins. Parisian pickling, okay. They don't grow really fast, so they're nice. Parisian pickling, and I got them from Seed Savers Exchange. This is what it says. Also known as improved Bourbon, this dark green cucumber with firm, thick flesh and inconspicuous seeds, which is good too, is suitable for pickling or slicing, a historic French variety used in the late 1800s to manufacture gherkins.
So the gherkins are the, you know, you can put a whole pickle in your mouth, whole cucumber, and they're that small.
Yeah, if I went out early enough, and I can, I'd go out and get some little teeny tiny ones. But they grow up to be very nice pickles. And I found that variety in through the Seed Savers Exchange, and rather like them. I grew that variety, and I also grew one called Early Fortune, which is also a It's a little bigger seeds, a little more watery than others, but it's also for pickling. So never give up on getting people to try your cucumbers, because my significant other said, that was pretty good. What a surprise. Well, tomatoes done.
All right, I have to make an announcement for those of you that do not know this about Lana. She is, I would say, the queen of tomatoes. Oh, I don't know anybody that grows as many varieties as well and as beautifully as Lana. So every year, I know we've asked this on air, I go, Lana, how many varieties of tomatoes did you grow this year? So.
Oh, I think I've got about 30. Now, I do that because I sell seedlings. I don't plant them all out on my farm because there's some that sell really well, but I don't care for them, so I just don't plant them. I've learned. But I start about 30 different varieties each year, and I'd say there's a good 24 in my garden right now with various, because of how tomatoes and how the garden season grows, there are various rates of success. But so far, so good. So far, the tomatoes are starting to roll.
They are
in.
Just now starting. We're really, really late this year, like everything else, mm-hmm. because the spring was so long and so cold, but we are finally getting tomatoes, and they are beautiful. And there's nothing like the first vine-ripened local, tomato. Not grown in a hoop house, out in the field. There's a lot of ways to grow tomatoes. The first tomato tastes so much better. After a while, you just like, when you've got a glut of tomatoes, you get a little more blasé about it. But the first ones are like, oh, goodness, I better make a BLT or just put some salt on it and eat it. Or they're just gorgeous.
All year for that first tomato mm-hmm. from the garden. And mm-hmm. this means the Iowa garden ripe ones, not what I refer to as a TLO, tomato-like objects.
TLO.
You can get through with tomato-like objects for most of the year, you know.
Well, I have to say, I'll get on my chef hat here. I do not buy those TLOs ever. If I need tomatoes in something, I just buy a good canned tomato in the winter. Or if I absolutely have to have a tomato in the wrong season, I will just buy some little cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, those travel okay. Yeah.
there are no substitutes for a real fresh picked tomato. However, You can go without them, and that's why I'm so excited, because now it's time to eat them. Talk about some of these 30 varieties, Lana. I've got a list in front of me. It reads like a lovely piece of descriptive fiction or something.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like poetry here. But
she's got red tomatoes, paste tomatoes, not red tomatoes, and small tomatoes.
That is my very non-scientific way of grouping things, but that's how I keep track of my tomatoes. And I start with the big red tomatoes are the Brandywines, the Costoludos, and the Caspian Pinks, those big things that are kind of like, in a good year, they take two hands to harvest. Those are good.
I love the Costoludos. First of all, I love the name. I can remember there was a wonderful chef that had an Italian restaurant in L.A., and actually it's Evan Clayman who does a radio show called The Good Food Show, 4 years. She's fabulous. But she had gone to Italy and brought back a seed that she gave to one of our favorite farmers, and she grew them out, and they were called Costoludo Constratino. And they are, you know, that wavy, lobey. Yeah. They are so beautiful and delicious, of course, but they are also really beautiful.
They are. They're great. They're heavily, the seed catalog description is called heavily lobed.
And indeed they are.
They've got dents in them, and they're good, and they're good. And then I always try one. The seed catalogs promise, the earliest, by 4th of July, you're going to have plant these. Now, this is a medium-sized red tomato. The cherries can come in early, but I planted one this year called Fireworks. Guaranteed, that's going to be by 4th of July. It didn't come in any earlier than the other one.
Marketing.
So you put them out there, and the tomatoes, mine, are going to do what they're going to do. Yes, they are.
Well, I see on the list something called Boxcar Willie, old-time favorite.
Oh, yes. I am a sucker for names, so I grew the Boxcar Willie, too. That's not quite as big as a Brandywine, but it's another one of these big pinkish reddish slicers. It's good. There's a I think marketing, well, like the fireworks is mm-hmm. the names of these things. They just speak to your heart. They do. So I always try some of these big slicers. And another variety was called Trophy from Seed Savers Exchange that I started. I wanted kind of I've grown something called Saint Pierre, which is a red French heirloom, for years. And I kind of need another one just kind of like that. And so far, side by side, the Saint Pierre is still a winner as
That's
far as...
your best
yeah,
one?
Yeah, so far for the all around... There you have a tomato. It's kind of medium, and it's good. And yeah, but I'll wait till the end of the season and see how it works out. But what is really fun is the red tomatoes are lovely, but the not red tomatoes are even better because I love colors. We've got gold brandywine, persimmon, Cherokee purple, rainbow. That's a big one that has a red starburst in the middle of a yellow tomato. Aunt Ruby's German green, yes, it's green. Gold Jubilee, a smaller orange tomato. Green Zebra Taxi, and this year I tried Ukrainian purple because Ukraine has much been in the news. And so I thought, Ukrainian purple, let's give that a try. Now, again, I found it in a couple of seed catalogs, but I found...
Oh, let me see the picture. That's just like in our Ukrainian cookbook.
Yeah, Donna's going to talk about these things. They're a long, sort of a paste tomato shape, although I think they're a little juicier than a regular tomato. And I planted some out in my field so they get lots of good sun. And I also planted a Ukrainian purple tomato kind of in my kitchen garden, which gets kind of sun only for like three quarters of the day. And for some reason, it liked the one that I planted in sort of in the semi-shade. Well, it gets sun after 10 o'clock in the morning, is doing a lot better. So I don't know why, but that's how it is. And those
you must
are
be
ready.
Talking to it more.
Yeah, those are ready yet. Other ones that are, another variety I grew is a peach tomato, which is a fuzzy one.
Yeah.
That's a yellow tomato, too. Yeah. And I grew something called a taxi tomato, which is a small yellow tomato, a determinate, which means that it's a short vine as opposed to the
long
vine.
Explain about the two kinds of tomatoes.
Well, there's probably lots of tomatoes, but...
Determinate and...
A lot of the tomatoes are either determinate, which means the tomatoes all set at one time, more or less, and they are short vine, or indeterminate, which means that the vines keep growing, and once they start setting fruit, they can keep going until the frost, if you kind of baby them a little bit. In other words, they indeterminately set fruit or determinately set fruit. So that's the two major kinds. People think of a short vine, tall vine, but you might want to consider, do you want tomatoes over a long season, or do you want them to come all at once, to can them or dry them all at once? It depends on what you
So what
like.
Are the Ukrainian ones? Are they determinate or indeterminate?
They are indeterminate. They are a very tall. Okay. Their plant looks very much like an Amish paste, which also is a tall, actually very fine leaf sort of thing. It just goes all over the place. And you've got these, so they do need staking. I have them in big cages. There you go. So, we're going to play around with some Ukrainian.
Well, yeah, Lon and I have, last winter we found a couple of, a wonderful Ukrainian cookbook writer named Olia Hercules, and we had talked about her books and kind of did a rocking chair trip to the Ukraine, and it all started because my friend Gil Chiklazi took me to the what we call the Russian store, which is basically the Eastern European store full of imported foods that is in Des Moines, and I saw lots and lots of jars of what at first I thought were pickled peppers, full of red, round things. They were pickled tomatoes. And I don't know how I got to be the age that I am and had never eaten a pickled tomato, right? We've eaten lots of pickles, but I must be an Eastern European thing because they were delicious. So I got really excited about this. I brought Lana a jar of them because I thought, oh boy, we got to do this. And then I found in the Olea Hercules book, she had three different recipes for tomatoes. And one of them, she calls them fermented tomatoes. So we are going to be trying that recipe. And if we are successful, you will be hearing about it on a future show.
Even if we're not successful, this is radio. We'll just hold it up to the microphone and say, here they are.
Yeah.
Now, well, we like to try new things. What, tell us about these recipes.
Well, there's one that she calls fermented tomatoes. The other one is called lick your fingers tomatoes. And then the third one is fermented tomato passata. But they're all, so the passata is like a, more like a sauce. But they're all fermented, like in the one that has the picture that looks like the Ukrainian purple. You mix salt, sugar, allspice, and peppercorns into the measured water in a saucepan. You bring it to a boil. You let it cool down completely. Then you place the tomatoes and other flavorings, which would be dill, bay, celery, and I think I would, of course, put garlic in it.
Anyway,
you put them in the sterilized jars, and then you pour the cool brine over it.
Oh, cool.
Then you
okay.
seal the jar and leave it in a warm place for 1 week until the tomatoes start fermenting. Then you transfer them to the refrigerator or a cellar where they can keep unopened all winter. Now, that sounds pretty simple.
Now, okay, this is one of those put it away and forget it for a while.
Right.
And it says seal the jar. Did they mean like seal the jar so it can burp? So it can let go of some of the stuff?
I think
stuff?
After the week.
Oh, after the week.
The week you seal the jar.
Oh, after the
so
week.
So okay. I suppose they're, and you put it in a cooler place. So you're okay. trying to stop the fermentation, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, because fermentation can be pretty dynamic sometimes. So we'll have to see how this
you know,
works.
I noticed in her other book, because I was rereading it this morning, she has a whole chapter on fermentation. And one of the things that she said, so she had a lot of family and grew up in the Ukraine, in the countryside near Kherson, until she was 12. Then she moved to, I think, London or something, but someplace urban. And she did say that the wild yeasts in her urban fermenting were not the same as the ones in the countryside in the Ukraine. And so she talks about, you know, it is more difficult to get the right wild yeasties to show up in the right place at the right time. You know, and she talked about how if you're working in your Ukrainian kitchen where you've, you know, you and your grandmother's grandmother's grandmothers have been using crocks and, you know, sharing recipes, that ferment is all around you and it's a lot easier. But,
We just may have to start our own. Maybe it won't work the first time, but we'll try
it. Right,
again.
We're going to try it. So we will be letting you know about that. Now, some other things I wanted to talk about. The yellow tomatoes. I love yellow tomatoes. They're sometimes called low acid tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that bite to them. But I know I've said this on the show before, but just in case you didn't listen to the last time, my favorite trick is to make a salsa or tomato salad where I have the yellow tomatoes only and peaches. And they're the same color. So you're expecting a tomato flavor. And you get the sweetness and the tartness of the peach at the same time. It is one of my favorite things. You chop the peaches and the tomatoes kind of in the relatively same shape. And then you just put a little salt, pepper, olive oil. I can chop in some fresh basil. And that's it. And it is so delicious.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
it's a real palate fooler.
The yellow tomatoes are some of my favorites, too. And I tried last year for the first time, and I did it again this year. There's a gold brandy wine. There's brandy wine in different colors, and this gold brandy wine seems to like my garden pretty well. It's a big thing there in the bottom.
Oh, it's this big yellow one.
It's a big yellow thing.
It's so pretty.
And it must like me. It does well, and that's a good one. Also, there's a little cherry tomato. It's a German heirloom called Blondkopfchen, which translates to little blondie or little blonde head. And that is actually, it often says in the description, is especially low acid.
Is it one of these, Lana?
It's, yeah.
She brought in a box. Yeah, that's just, I'm going to do an on-air taste. Oh. Mmm.
Yeah, see, it's a yellow gold tomato, but it doesn't have that red acidy. Whatever.
No, but it's good.
It's good.
That's the thing about the cherries. One pop in your mouth, and it's like all I can say is like pure tomato flavor.
Yeah, it's very good. Very mild. Very mild. We like that. Tomatoes are such a good thing. Now I've had a few challenges this year besides the weather, although usually I grow tomatoes on drip irrigation, drip line. So watering them isn't such a big deal, and I've learned how to trellis them, and so that's good too. But I've had critters all over my garden this year, and I'm not talking insects. I know I have a deer, or maybe a whole herd, because I can follow their little footprints. And I have electric fence around my big garden out in the field. But next to the house, I don't want to put an electric fence, for gosh sakes. It's just a small little kind of bits and pieces of things that I put up there, mostly flowers. But I had some tomatoes up there, and I had some yellow tomatoes coming, and I was looking forward to those yellow tomatoes, and they were kind of medium size. They were green, and they were coming. I went out about a week ago, and all the tomatoes on this little plant, one plant, were gone. Gone.
Somebody else was waiting for them.
Somebody else ate them, and it's way up. They were too high on the plant for rabbits. And actually, I think too high for groundhogs. I mean, he would have had to really stretch up there. So, and judging from the very obvious deer footprints,
the true giveaway.
So I hope those deer
no mystery
like
there.
My yellow tomatoes. And
did they wait till they were ripe?
No.
Oh.
I've got a fence around just those tomatoes now. There will be some more coming, but the first prize winners. Okay, this was one variety, and like Donna said, I've got lots of other varieties, but it's a point of pride, and doggone those animals. Anyway, but I have another animal thing happening. And Donna, you helped me figure out what this was. Plants were sort of like dying. All of a sudden, the next, I'd go out there one day, I have a tall green tomato plant with green tomatoes set on it, and it looked like they were just choked off. Everything around it was green and lovely, and it was like dead.
Standing there completely wilted, yeah.
Standing there completely wilted. And this happened to a tomato plant. And also, I kind of noticed this trail from one tomato plant to another tomato plant. It crossed an aisle, and three pepper plants. Also, same thing, kind of taller. So I stick my hand in the ground, and yes, something was undermining them, as they say. I think I've got a very hungry mole. It just totally ate underneath everything. I was able to kind of repot the pepper plants. They're doing okay. I'm having the darndest time doing something to save the tomato plants. They will just say that.
Those moles, it's not like you can use a fence to keep them out. I had so many moles in California. I could sit out in my garden, and all of a sudden I'd see a plant kind of wiggling around, and not from the breeze, right? Just one plant. Then all of a sudden, whoop, the whole thing would disappear into the ground.
It's just like a cartoon.
Yeah, it was. It was just like a cartoon. So I don't know what you're going to do. People used to put smoke bombs down the tunnels.
Oh, that sounds good.
Smoke them out. Yeah.
I think I've got some illegal fireworks. Maybe I'll try that. That's good. I don't even like fireworks. But for a mole, maybe I'd give them a surprise. Well, we're looking forward to your fermented tomatoes, Dot.
I hope it works.
Talking about tomatoes and enjoying tomatoes. And, oh, remember, on the Donna Lana Kitchen recipe page, go to KHOI website, and there is a recipe for oven candied tomatoes, which is our tried and true way.
And it is, Lauren and I really agree on this one. It is our favorite way of cooking tomatoes when you reach the point where you get lots and lots and lots of them.
And for preserving them.
Yeah.
Because you cook these down and put them in freezer bags. And it's a nice thing to pull out.
Yeah, they sweeten up. You just, it takes a while, but you slice them all up with a little olive oil on a sheet pan. Yeah. And I put a little dried basil, salt, pepper, you know, not too much seasoning.
And then you start at a hot oven, and every 30 minutes, turn it down 50 degrees until you get to 200.
Until they're kind of, you don't want them dried out, and you don't want them burned, but you want them, like, concentrated.
Yeah, they start to shrivel a little.
Yeah.
They're good.
Oh, they're delicious.
Anyway, look up that recipe for oven candied tomatoes on the Donalena Kitchen recipe page on the Donalena Kitchen talk show section of the KHOI.
I have one website. More tomato question.
One
Lana.
More tomato question.
So I discovered this, for example, when I moved back to the Midwest from California 15 years ago, was the kind of the beginning of everybody was growing heirloom tomatoes, right? We were really getting varieties, and there were several in California that were always at the market that were really, really fabulous. And then I came to Iowa, and people were growing sort of the same varieties, but they did not taste as spectacular as they did in California. So I had the good fortune to talk to one of the growers at Seed Savers one time about why, and this makes completely good sense. He said, well, the tomatoes that have the most flavor in Iowa, because we have colder weather than California, are the heirlooms that come basically from northern Germany or Russia or those kinds of varieties. Really, really are the best here. So, but for flavor, what is your favorite tomato?
Well, oh,
bet
goodness.
You can't pick just one.
Pick just one, Donna. I always look forward to the green zebras and the Aunt Ruby's German green just because I love those. But I'll go with a gold Brandywine or a persimmon, big gold slicer.
Oh,
every time,
a persimmon,
every time.
Yeah.
Just one of them gold ones. But mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with a tomato. No. You are listening to KHOI, and this is the Donalena Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. The Donalena Kitchen. We are just enjoying ourselves talking about tomatoes and things from the garden. Oh, one of the things that I like to do this time of year, and I've learned to be Johnny on the spot with this sort of thing, I like to dry herbs. Now, herbs are growing out there doing their thing. Some are setting flowers now. Some have long past set flowers. If you're going to dry something, it's really nice to jump onto the plant when it is just setting flowers. Don't wait until the flowers are totally dried up and the plant is kind of done then. You want the essential oils to be at their peak, and that is when the plant is just vigorously setting its flowers. And the basils are doing that this time of year, so I'm picking basils and drying them and doing things and making pesto. I've had luck, Donna, with lemon basil this year.
Oh, boy.
Well,
that's exciting.
Well, yeah. And I'm trying to think of things to do with lemon basil because it really, truly is lemony.
I find that of all the varieties of basil, and I always grow lemon basil because you can't seem to buy it. But of all the basils, it's the closest to your standard Genovese basil, but it has a little extra flavor that's really good in all the places that your standard basil is good. So let's try some then, Lana.
Okay, let's. And I'll use some in tea this winter. I like.
Oh, it's beautiful in tea. Yeah.
And I've had really good luck with lemon basil. I guess.
How about one of your basil jellies with lemon basil?
Now, I have never tried that. Let's try basil jelly with lemon basil. Oh. Good idea, Donna.
Oh, Lana makes the best basil jelly. I love having it at Christmas on things.
Yeah.
It's just, you open it up and it's like summer in a can.
It is. It's that, and it's an unexpected sort of basil. It's really good on a cheese plate, too. I like the lemon basil. Now, it probably won't be pink because I usually make basil jelly with red opal basil, which is red basil, dark purple, and it makes a really lovely purple jelly. The lemon will probably just be kind of golden.
What if you mix the two basils?
Oh, I could.
Yeah. How much purple does it? You want to leave the lemon dominant, okay. I would think.
Well,
but
I don't know. The purple basil is
too strong.
It's pretty intense. I could maybe put some perilla in it.
Oh, but that would push the flavor a different direction.
Yeah, that is. That's pretty strong.
That's pretty strong, too.
Oh, Donna, we can just leave it as lemon basil.
Okay.
And we'll know it's lemon basil.
Okay.
Unless you want me to put some Easter egg food coloring in it. No.
Okay, no.
We won't do that.
No.
So I will make some lemon. Lemon basil jelly sounds really good.
And I think I'll pick and dry some.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Also, I've had good luck with Thai basil this year. And that has a different, more assertive flavor, and that's a good basil to try, too.
I usually try that one also because that is another one that you cannot buy at the grocery store. So you've got to grow your own and dry it in the, because, you know, if it's January and you want to have a Thai stir fry and noodles and something, this isn't exactly, you know, Thai food is tropical, but the Thai basil dried does come to the rescue in that moment.
It does. Thai basil is, well, also, if you like to go around the garden and pick an odd flower here and there, basil and the flavored basils put up the really pretty flowers if you don't get to pick them soon enough.
And that's true. And they're lovely on the table.
The addition in the table. Mm-hmm. I recently made a Thai basil noodle dish, and yes, that extra strong Thai basil is really good with linguine, that's the Einkorn brown pasta.
Einkorn one?
Einkorn. I like that pasta.
Anyway, I do too.
Yeah, and then Thai basil noodles are generally made with a little chicken stock, fish sauce, and soy sauce, and maybe some other thing. And garlic.
Mm-hmm. Garlic.
Yeah, and
of course.
That kind of taste is, it's not an Iowa sort of taste. It's, let's go out and try something new. And the Thai basil is really good. Good. Well, Donna Lana Kitchen often has some news items here. And we're going to turn to the Donna Lana Kitchen News Department. Tick, 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 tick. That's our ticker tape. What do you have for us today, Donna?
Well, I usually get these messages from the Environmental Working Group, but this has also been not the only source of this one, but now we're talking about titanium dioxide, and which is a food additive that is, guess what, banned in Europe, you know, but why is it? It's in a lot of candies. And Environmental Working Group is bringing this up now because, for my whole adult life, we've been questioning the use of artificial food colorings. And what they're saying is what titanium dioxide is really emblematic of is the failure of the FDA to look back at their decisions and check them against the latest science. Because 56 years ago, then in the 1966, was the approval of titanium dioxide. And it's used in Skittles, of course.
Skittles?
It says that it's also in dairy products. It makes things whiter and lighter. It's also used in paints. So somebody at the Environmental Working Group was saying, he said, it's sort of ironic that the ingredients in paint that make your kitchen shiny also make your Hostess cupcakes shiny.
Oh.
Is it dangerous? Well, of course, some people say, no, of course not. Just eat it. But the European Food Safety Authority assessment published in 2021, you notice it's much more recent than 56 years ago, pointed to genotoxicity concerns. Genotoxicity is the ability of chemicals to damage genetic information such as DNA, which may lead to cancer. The question about how to avoid it, well, it's in a lot of things, and it's not always on the label. The best information I could find was they said avoid processed foods as best you can. Well, that's something we're always talking about, avoiding processed foods. So here's another good reason to avoid processed foods.
Well, I may have to cut back on my Skittles. I don't even eat Skittles.
Yeah, yep.
But, we eat with our eyes, so we want things to be shiny and pretty and mm-hmm. colorful. And, let's be aware of it.
Yeah, if it's, like they said, for example, with the Skittles, it's a coating that's put on the candy on the outside where the coloring is to make the coloring, like, pop. Make it shinier. So.
See? Marketing.
Yep.
There you go. Well, another news item that I ran across. Norman Lear is 100 years old.
Yes. What a wonderful man. I cooked for him privately in his house for 3 years, and it was never a dull moment with the Lear family. Norman liked to entertain a lot, and he was a very generous he ran during the time when I was doing that, which would have been in the 90s. He was, always doing a lot of nonprofit work. Like he founded People for the American Way, which is it's not exactly political, but they did one thing is they bought a copy of the Constitution, I believe, and toured it to all the states so people could see the original copies of our,
around,
you know, yeah. And then he was also founded Environmental Media Association and several other things. So he was always entertaining, and he would encourage his friends to also be philanthropists, not necessarily for the organizations that he was interested in, but get out there and do something. And for those of you who might be too young to remember Norman Lear, he was the creator. He's most well known for All in the Family and creating Archie Bunker, who was, you know, the forerunner of all rednecks. But he was a New Yorker. And so Norman, for his 100th birthday, which was a few days ago, published an editorial in the New York Times where he said he didn't think that Archie Bunker, who was a relative, you know, he was a conservative's conservative. He didn't think that Archie Bunker would like what the conservatives were doing now. He said, and mainly because Archie Bunker was a union man.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. So he did point that out for all of us who remember Archie Bunker and the and Meathead, his son-in-law, who was the progressive young fellow on the show. And Norman also created All in the Family and then The Jeffersons, which was the first show that had a black family on it. He also told me one time, he used this as an example of the power of Hollywood. He said, on the day that the Fonz got a library card on the show, and that was played, you know, all over the nation.
Happy days.
That the number of library cards taken out that day was significantly through the roof.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
You know, so some of those things, you know, that we watch for entertainment, of course, are very, very, help us learn things and change. It's educational.
The arts are important.
Absolutely.
They
so
are.
Happy 100th birthday to Mr. Norman Lear. What a fellow.
Yes. And also coming up, happy 100th birthday, this radio station, KHOI.
10th, dear.
Not the 100th.
No. It's only 10 years old.
For 10 years, we're doing pretty good. We're having a birthday coming up, too. This is KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more at www.khoifm.org. Find out more about Donna Lana Kitchen and all the other fine programming on this station. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're having a fun time today talking about good food, as usual. And sometime means you've got a lot of good stuff from the garden. And I want to say something about some summer soups. Vichyssoise and borscht. They can be served cold and lovely. And one thing that is common among vichyssoise and borscht, two completely different soups, is that they're terribly hard to spell. Vichyssoise, V-I-C-H-Y-S-S-O-I-S-E, and borscht, B-O-R-S-C-H-T. Whew, what's
them foreign names, you know?
Yeah, foreign names.
Yeah, vichyssoise is French.
Yeah.
And borscht is Russian or Eastern European.
So, tell us about vichyssoise first.
Oh, it's cold potato soup.
Oh, yum.
You know, there's nothing fancy about it. I make it all the time because you can eat it hot or cold. And if you're using a base of chicken stock, it's even better. But if you don't have chicken stock, you just peel a bunch of potatoes and put them in a pan with some water and an onion and a bay leaf, and you cook them till they're really soft. Then you pull the bay leaf out and you puree them with some milk and some cream. You know, depending on how far you want to go with it being really rich, but you know, salt and pepper, and that's it.
It's so lovely to have a little cold soup.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. Oh, and also leeks are sometime traditional.
That's true. I did one this week. I forgot about that. Yeah. Helen Gunderson gave me a million leeks. Oh. So many leeks. I'm thinking, whoa, what am I going to do with these? And then I thought, stock, of course.
Yes.
So I just chopped them all up and not too fine and put them in a big kettle with water and boiled the dickens out of them for, I don't know, a couple of hours. And then I did make a vichyssoise with that. It was really good.
Yum. Vichyssoise. And then there's borscht. And I tasted the borscht you made. And actually, I was inspired to make some myself. Tell us your borscht.
It looks like there are a million. It looks like borscht sort of means soup with some kind of water base or stock base in the Eastern European countries. But of course, Americans think of borscht as cold beet soup. So I did something, I did it a couple of weeks ago, it was so good, I made Lana taste it. I just had some chicken stock, so I peeled the raw beets and then put them in my food processor and grated them right up, and I grated an onion. I don't use the grater very often for onions, but in this instance, it really is, works just fine. I just ran them through the grater blade on the food processor. Put them into the chicken stock and cook them. You don't even have to cook it that long because they're so finely diced. But until it's really soft, you know, maybe 20 minutes or something like that. Then I took it off the heat and let it cool down a little bit. Then I added a little bit of sugar, not much, and some rice wine vinegar. And I think that's all I put in it, right?
Did you use dill and garlic?
Well, I did put dill in the soup, or did I put it in the sour cream?
I don't know. You made it.
Oh, golly. Okay. Well, anyway, at some point, there's some fresh dill in there.
Salt and pepper?
Salt and pepper. And then, you get a good chill on it, and then you serve it. You chop up hard-boiled eggs and more sour cream. And I think I put dill in that sour cream. So when you're ready to serve it in the serving bowl, then after it's in the bowl, you add the hard-boiled eggs and the sour cream, and it is delicious.
And it is pink. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Oh, it is.
Thing.
It's such a beautiful
color. It's
pink.
It's so
yeah.
good.
And when you put that white sour cream without the titanium dioxide, it gets this beautiful, the pink is just, oh, it's so wonderful.
Yay. So many good things from the garden.
Well, there's the other third cold soup.
Oh, what?
Gazpacho.
Oh, yes, of course.
I made one last night.
Another thing that's hard to spell.
Yeah, okay. Is it G-A-S or G-A-Z? How do you spell gazpacho?
G-A-T-Z.
And no, then there's no T.
Okay, then it's G-A-Z, and then it goes pacho from there.
Yeah, okay, something like that. Okay, spell check. Paula, my friend from Barcelona, does this gazpacho, our blender gazpacho. It's watermelon and tomato.
Watermelon.
And a piece of day-old bread, a little olive oil, and some sherry vinegar and salt and pepper. And then you just it's like you're making a smoothie or something. And then she, of course, in true Catalan fashion, adds chopped vegetables in afterwards, in the bowl, so it has some chunkiness. But last night, I just was making a one-person gazpacho, so it was really like having a tomato watermelon smoothie.
It was
fast and delicious and refreshing.
Tomato and watermelon? Ooh,
yeah.
So nice.
Yeah.
That's a good gazpacho, however you spell it. I looked up these other two, but I forgot the gazpacho kind. But yes, that, and actually putting a little bit of
Basil.
Oh, yeah, basil.
Basil.
See, keep putting all kinds of things in. I never heard of putting watermelon, but putting dry bread in.
That's a thickener for it.
A thickener. Yeah. And it really is lovely. Yes, it is. Good. Well, stuff is coming up this time of year. The Iowa State Fair is not this week. It's coming up August 11th, and usually goes for 10 or 11 days. The Iowa State Fair has been happening in this state since 1854, huh? 1850. And people gather, and one thing that, besides all the hoopla and the animals and the loud tractor pulls and the rides and the stuff, food is a big thing. And people go to the Iowa State Fair just to eat food. Usually on a stick, but not necessarily, because now people are doing things in cups and in wraps and all sorts of things. They came out with the winners and the list of the new food at the Iowa State Fair. There are three new desserts, or three desserts that I thought was worth a mention. A minty moo parfait. Minty moo, probably moo like cow. Moo parfait with thin mint cookies. A puff sundae with all the elements of s'mores in it. I could say, a sundae with, and chocolate. And a blue ribbon cobbler. That sounds pretty good.
Now, wait, is that an ice cream flavor, or it's a an actual cobbler.
That is a cobbler, I think. But anyway, that's...
Well, it can't be as good as yours. Nobody makes pies and cobblers like Lana.
I don't serve them on a stick, though. Okay, here are the three best new foods. Now, I wasn't asked to comment on this. I just read about this in the paper. Okay, there's the OMG chicken sandwich with battered chicken breast covered with sugar-coated cornflakes, fried and served on a crispy cream donut with bacon and maple syrup. Hey, you can go and have one if you want. Another one that you can have there, and this isn't a stick either, pork picnic in a cup from the Iowa Pork Tent. Huh? Layers of barbecue sauce and baked beans. Just everything is in there and then covered with barbecue sauce. Yum. And then there's something from the Rib Shack called the Finisher, and that comes with, okay, baked potatoes stacked with chopped brisket, smoked pulled pork, and mac and cheese topped with sour cream and garlic rub butter.
It sounded good till you got to the topped with sour cream and butter. That sounded like a little over the top there. I think I can eat this, and then the list goes on a little too far.
Oh, there's lots of other things. Just the idea of this going through your brain is kind of enough.
Well, they announced this in the newspaper in advance because they want, this is the draw.
Oh, boy.
You just go to the fair to eat all of this.
Those were the
crazy
big winners. But you could also get deep fried meatballs on a stick, deep fried queso burgers, dino bites, party trays, Eggo Fuego eggs.
Say that one again. What?
Ego Fuego, like Terra del Fuego. Ego Fuego eggs. Elk corn dogs, fried green beans party tray, and here's one that might be pretty good. Fried olives on a stick.
Huh? Why bother?
I don't know, but there you can get it. And there's just tons of things you can do. Another thing I would like to recommend at the Iowa State Fair, I always take this in. There is a weed identification contest. Anybody can
join.
Pot up weeds and put it outside the agriculture building. And I believe that's happening on Friday, August 12th from 9 to 11:30. And I always go and look it over and I know weeds, but there are so many. I know. But anyway, that's a fun thing to do. You think you know your Iowa weeds? Test your metal. There you go. Iowa State Fair.
And are we having the butter cow this year?
Yes, there is a butter cow, and there is something, I don't know what exactly will be sculpted in butter, but something to honor the musical, the Music Man.
Oh, yes, another Iowa phenomenon.
So I don't, maybe it'll be a butter trombone or something.
Okay.
I don't, but check that out. See, there's so many things to look forward to at the Iowa State Fair.
The biggest pumpkin, the fattest pig.
Oh, a pig and all that kind of stuff. Oh, also, upcoming this weekend, right next door to Ames is a town called Boone, and they're having their Pufferbilly Days. Pufferbilly has to do with trains. It's a big train thing. Pufferbilly Days from August 5th to the 7th. Oh, that's good. Actually, they used to have that celebration in September, right after Labor Day, but they bumped it to earlier because I think there's some kind of big car racing event over there. They do that kind of thing, too. So as if trains didn't burn up enough fossil fuels, now they're doing car racing, too. People get together and celebrate the darndest things. So Puffy Belly Days is this weekend. Iowa State Fair is coming up. It's summer in Iowa, and again, I want to mention KHOI is 10 years old. It's celebrating
August 20th, right?
August 20th, a Saturday. Stay tuned to this station for further information. That's good. That's good. We've been talking about tomatoes and pickles. My husband actually ate a pickle. And summer soups, vichyssoise, gazpacho, and borscht. Summer. And time to start harvesting those basils. We'll talk about more things from the garden in upcoming shows. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We come to you Tuesday at noon, and repeated Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. or anytime. Go to khoifm.org. You can stream shows there and download to your device and do all that sort of thing, and listen to our show and listen to other shows too. We've had music by the Barn Owl Band. Support this fine community radio station. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
We've had fine engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.